We paid less for our Craftmatic today than we did 20 years ago.
If you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and free information on today's Craftmatic adjustable beds. And then decide when you see how little they cost. Rated number one by consumers nationwide on ConsumerAffairs.com. Craftmatic beds come in all mattress types, including cool gel memory foam, for up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand. Enjoy temporary relief of low back pain, poor circulation, nighttime heartburn, mild arthritis. You'll sleep better in a Craftmatic adjustable bed. So if you're still searching for the perfect solution to a good night's sleep, call now for prices and information, and then decide when you see how little they cost. Discover Craftmatic for less, up to 50% less than today's leading memory foam brand.
Call 1-800-316-5271. That's 1-800-316-5271. 1-800-316-5271. Call now.
You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University Business School. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Dana Theus, Empower Coaching, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Haley Morris Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperin, and Dean Nutter, George Mason University. We've got a great lineup of guests on our show today. John, will you please give us the rundown?
Sure, Herb. First, we have Ashish Khatru. He's the CEO of AltruVista Health. Next, we have Bill Engrick, CEO of Liquidity Services. Then we'll have Raj Anandan Pillai. He's the CEO of InfoZen and Identrix. And our last guest is Joe Haggerty, President and CEO of Alexandria Chamber of Commerce.
Well, right. Let's get to know Ashish Khatru, CEO of Altruista Health. What is Altruista Health? Ashish, what do you guys do?
Altruista Health is a population health platform that engages patients proactively in better health outcomes, better healthy behaviors, so that we can arrest an avoidable hospitalization or ER room visit down the road.
How large or how small is this company? How many patients are on your platform, and how large is the team?
It's about 250 people strong today, growing rapidly, and we have 15 million patients that are being actively managed on our platform.
15 million patients, and
that's correct.
How old is this company?
Started in 2007, took about 4 years.
2007, and how long have you been with the organization?
Since 2007, I was one of the co-founders.
You were one of the co-founders. Where are you from originally?
I'm from India.
How young were you when you came to the United States?
24.
Why'd you come to the United States?
I was looking for an advanced degree option either in India or in U.S. The way it worked out is that I found options within the U.S. and I came for an advanced degree
here. Tell us a little bit, like, what was it like living in India when you were a kid? What kind of stuff happened?
It was a great growing for some amount of time. We were in a very insular valley, which is called Jammu and Kashmir Valley, the Himalayan Mountains. And then around 87, 88, which is right around when I was 12, 13 years old, terrorism started to breed up in the valley, in the Kashmir Valley. And I belong to the minority Hindu community, the 1% community in that area. So there was already tentacles of discrimination that were happening with the minority community. But they blew through the roof at that point of time. And what really nailed it for us was that my parents were taken hostage when I was about 14, 15 years old. Fortunately, they survived the hostage crisis, and as soon as they came out of that, we fled the valley, left everything behind, and moved over to another place in the same state, Jammu and Kashmir, but where there was less terrorism at that point of time.
How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I have one older brother.
One older brother.
6 years older.
6 years older. So parents were taken hostage in your native country. How did this affect your being? How did this affect you?
I mean, it really brings to life, makes life, makes you think about what is really important in your life and what it means to possibly lose your two most loved people in this world at that point of time.
How did that affect your starting this business that serves 15 million patients?
So when we left the valley, and my dad got transferred into this very remote area in Jammu district, Jammu and Kashmir state, where schooling wasn't very good and there were still some terrorism that was happening. I had come from a very good school in Kashmir where I had studied until that point of time. I wasn't allowed to actually go to school while I was in my 10th grade, 11th grade, and 12th grade. So I pretty much had to figure things out on my own. I was homeschooled. I didn't have any teachers or any real good teachers that could teach me my way around. And I had to put in a lot of hard work, a lot of long hours to be able to figure things out on my own and to be able to figure out how to succeed in this life.
You said you have to figure things out on your own. Did you have teachers or did you have to teach yourself?
I had to pretty much teach myself.
And what was your goal? I mean, what were you trying to accomplish with your schooling?
I was trying to get to a point where I could go to a decent college and get a college degree so that I could get a job and I could make some money in my life.
You told us earlier that there's pretty rigorous standards, and how did you prioritize in terms of what you're trying to accomplish?
I had to find shortcuts to success and really invest and prioritize my time in initiatives that would give the biggest return for my investment of time. So I would look at patterns of what had been asked even in, for example, exams or question papers in the last 5-6 years. I would go through those and I would spend my time reading about those concepts and clarifying those for myself, so that when it came time to being in the exam room, I was able to answer those concepts or questions clearly, and I was able to then proceed forward.
Whose idea was this?
Sorry?
Whose idea was it to do this stuff? It was your idea.
It was my idea.
How young were you when this happened?
I was 14, 15.
Mm-hmm. And this is because of what, this was right after mom and dad got taken hostage, but they were returned. You took life very seriously, it sounds like.
That is correct, yes.
Dana?
You said that when you were homeschooling, you were virtually imprisoned in your home. You couldn't leave your home, and your mom and dad were critical to your motivation, but your mom motivated you for the right reasons. What do you mean by that?
She had a very balanced view of the world, whereas my dad was, obviously all of us were in shock, and he wanted me to just focus all of my time in studies and not do anything else. But my mom would still find ways to keep me engaged, to keep me motivated, and be my friend, because I really didn't have any friends at that point of time.
How do you use her example in your leadership style today?
I think from that experience, I developed the emotional intelligence to connect with people at a different level rather than just the professional levels, more also at a personal level.
What's that have to do with developing a company that now serves 15 million patients, this emotional intelligence? I thought you were the CEO. You just tell people what to do.
I wish. It's all about the team, and I think having that emotional intelligence has really helped me build a great team. That has created this organization that mm-hmm. is helping 15 million patients mm-hmm. today and a growing number with better mm-hmm. health outcomes.
Karen, did you have a question?
Yes, we were talking in the break earlier. Before you homeschooled yourself, you also went to an all-boys private school in India, which seems to be very competitive. There was a lot of emphasis on physical activities, but yet there was also a civic component. Tell us about that.
It was a Christian missionary school, one of the best experiences I have had in my life. While there was a strong focus on sports and overall development, but that overall development also meant compassion towards the people and the society that you live in. At a very early age, we used to have a subject that was rated very highly in our exams, which was called moral sciences, and we all learned how to give back to the community, mm-hmm. not only by studying, but by doing mm-hmm. the kinds mm-hmm. of things that you had to do. Mm-hmm. So, for example, we used to visit leper mm-hmm. colonies mm-hmm. so that we could gotcha. Do service to those and help people in need.
Ashish, this organization that you've started that serves 15 million patients, are mom and dad aware of your success?
Dad is. Mom, unfortunately, died in an accident a few years back, mm-hmm. but the company was growing at that mm-hmm. point of time.
Have your parents been to, have, were your parents, have they been to America?
They have been to
have
America.
Have they been to your office?
They have been to my office.
How do you think they felt when they walked into your office?
Very proud. My dad continues to be very proud. I'm sure my mom, wherever she is in peace with God, continues when she looks down at me to be very proud of me.
How do you know that they were proud?
You could see it in their eyes. You know, you've grown up with them. They are the people who you have gone through with in some very difficult circumstances with, and they also tell you that you are proud.
How do you think they felt from that trip being a hostage to walking into your office?
I think that it meant the world to them, that all the sacrifices that they have gone through and all of the hard work that they have put into has created something that is helping others. That meant a lot more to them than just the success of the business. The fact that we are helping people get better, we are helping them get to better health outcomes, we are helping them with less hospitalizations, which they would otherwise have had many more.
She said that losing your parents, or almost losing your parents, made you think about what's most important in life. What's most important today, and how does that translate to Altra Vista Health?
I think what's most important is doing something that you can be proud of, being there for your family, being there, being the loving support towards them, also being there for your community, and get involved in work that is important, that's meaningful. Mm-hmm. That will transform exactly. a society.
Ashish, can you give us the website address for Altruista Health?
AltruistaHealth.com, AltruistaHealth.com.
We've been speaking with Ashish Kashru, CEO of Altruista Health. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Want help building your business with help from this show's CEOs? Our CEOs can help you uncover more opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money. All the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. And some are available to advise you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. The same CEOs you've heard on the show for 10 years may be willing to help you build your business, uncover new opportunities, grow your sales, connect you, help you raise money, all the big issues, because our CEOs have been there and done that, succeeding in creating millions of jobs and earning millions of dollars. Some of the CEOs who have appeared on our shows over the last 10 years may be willing to help you grow, assuming you're serious about your success, serious about your own success, because it all starts with the leader. If you're serious about creating your own successful business, or truly committed to putting your nose to the grindstone and doing whatever it takes to make your business successful, we may be able to match you with successful CEOs who have created millions of jobs and earned millions of dollars to help you create your success. We've established unique relationships with a unique universe of over 7,000 CEOs who have created substantial wealth for their companies, their teams, and themselves. These women and men get the build in their blood and often continue to start and build businesses even after they've created substantial wealth for themselves because they love the challenge of building a business. Perhaps we can present you and your business to some of these CEOs to gain their interest in helping you. Now, email mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. That's mentors@executiveleadersradio.com. To hopefully match you with some of the CEOs we've had on the show for the last 10 years. mentors@executiveleadersradio.com.
Due to an upturn in the economy, Main Street Business Loans has pre-approved the release of millions of dollars in small business funding. Your business may already be pre-approved to receive up to $250,000. We've sent out millions of pre-approval letters. We see the economy growing, and our underwriters believe now is the time to invest in your business so you can grow faster and make more money. And we're prepared to give you up to $250,000 to do it. Your funds can be available in 5 days. There are no application fees, no annual fees, just quick access to up to $250,000. If your business did not receive your approval letter to get up to $250,000, call Main Street Business Loans Approval Desk now.
800-430-7570. 800-430-7570, 800-430-7570. That's 800-430-7570.
Has your life changed? Are you now in a situation where you need health insurance? Here's some simple advice. Call our health insurance hotline right now. This free service will do all the work for you. Shop the health insurance marketplace and find the plan that best meets your health insurance needs. Don't get lost searching for plans on your own. Let a licensed agent help you for free. According to a report on CNN Money, almost half of those eligible for subsidies are paying less than $3 a day for bronze or silver plans. Remember, under Obamacare, most Americans qualify for health insurance. So get ready to let us do all the work for you and find out the best health insurance plan for your needs. Call this number now.
800-659-7975. 800-659-7975. For your free health insurance quote, call now. 800-659-7975. 800-659-7975.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio, broadcast from George Mason University Business School. I'd like to introduce Bill Angrick, CEO of Liquidity Services. What is Liquidity Services? What do you guys do?
Great to be with you. We're the world's largest marketplace for business surplus. We connect about 3 million registered buyers with Fortune 1000 manufacturers and retailers who need to sell inventory and equipment.
How large or how small is this organization?
We're 16 years old, $600 million of revenue, roughly 1,200 employees.
And how'd you get a job with this large company?
I wrote a check for $100,000 to help start the business in 1999 and have been chairman and CEO since.
No kidding. Where are you from originally?
I grew up in the heart of the heartland, Des Moines, Iowa.
Des Moines, Iowa. Did you tell us that you have one brother, if I remember correctly?
One brother, close in age, 10 months apart.
10 months apart. And mom and dad were divorced when you were a young kid?
Two great parents, very, very intellectual. Both taught and studied at Drake University in Des Moines, but they did separate when I was age five.
How do you think that affected you?
You grew up. You become the head of the household in your own mind as the oldest son. And I think taking accountability for your schedule, for your sibling, setting a role model example for your family is really what it means.
Do you play any sports when you were a kid?
The great thing about growing up in Iowa for my brother and I is we played everything. We were very competitive with each other.
What was the common thread of all the sports you played in terms of your role on the team?
Well, one, you realize that winning becomes sort of a habit and something you want to work towards. And so connecting, you know, hard work with great outcomes becomes very important with sports. Two is the team. You know, hang out with the guys.
What was your role on the team? What was your role on those teams?
Well, I mean, in the early days, you know, just being a team member. But, you know, by age 12, we had some great success in Little League and basketball.
What was your role on that team?
So I became a captain of most of these teams.
You became a captain. What happened to the team? Did you guys win or lose when you were the Little League captain?
We were champions.
Why'd you end up being champions?
Well, I think you bring everyone together for a common goal.
Is that what your role was?
I think that's part of it.
What's your role nowadays as CEO of Liquidity Services?
Well, you hire great people, and you
give
them
opportunity. Are you telling me you're doing the same thing nowadays that you did at the age of 12, helping that team win?
I think building teams is everybody's dream.
I just wanted to make sure. Who's got the next question here?
Do you think you're selected as a team captain?
First, you serve as an example. Never ask someone to do something you won't do yourself. And through your example and your exhibiting qualities that people can admire is how you become a leader. And I think that transcends into business. I think, too, it's great to get people motivated to do something they don't think they're capable of doing on their own. And something magic happens when you bring people together and strive for a common goal and do something greater than you could individually.
Gary?
How does participating in sports in a very highly competitive environment at a young age, having to take care of yourself, translate into an organization that today really helps people?
Well, look, when you get knocked on your butt in a football game, you get back up and you keep pursuing. A lot of people have used this term grit. I think grit does translate to business. It's overcoming obstacles. It's solving problems. It's bringing people together to do things that they wouldn't be able to do individually. I think all those things come from team activities. And it's not just sports. It can be debate. It can be playing in the orchestra. But those are characteristics that I think are very important to growing and scaling organizations.
How young were you when you first realized you were overcoming obstacles?
Well, one of the interesting things, you know, first, being a little bit different with a single-parent household, you come home, you do the dishes, you get things ready for dinner. Two, I had been diagnosed with scoliosis when I was 7 years old, and it was one of those things where you knew quickly that you had to follow the doctor's orders and take certain measures and exercises, and solving that was the goal, which I did, and went on to play sports. So I think two is nothing's given to you, so you got to go out and get it. So if you want spending money, you go get a job. You find you connect rewards with hard work. All those things carry over into business.
Dana?
I'm wondering, since you grew up in a single family household, but your father was living in the community, what did this teach you about relationships that you use today in your business?
Well, let me say one thing about my dad. I think my dad really was, for me, the gold standard of integrity. He was a political appointee as the Citizens Aid Ombudsman of Iowa, which meant he investigated waste, fraud, and abuse. And so he set a standard for integrity and carrying your reputation in the community. And so as the oldest child, carrying your reputation in the community and doing things well and to the best of your ability was something that was ingrained at an early age.
Next question. Who's got it?
What traits did you learn from your mother?
My mom was the standard of eternal optimism. She was so encouraging at every step of the way. If you get someone to believe in you and support you unconditionally, then you believe in yourself, and then you feel empowered to go out and conquer the world and go out and catch your dreams. So I think that's probably the best thing that my mother brought to our family.
What was that again?
To believe in yourself.
And how'd you get that?
And I think it starts with having strong, loving parents, and then having small successes. You know, you have some small wins, they lead to big wins.
Bill, are you married or single?
I'm married with two boys.
How old are the boys?
12 and 13.
What's the similarity between being a CEO and a dad?
Well, one is having a set of core values. You know, how do you live your life? What do you believe in? What are your pillars that organize how you think about the world?
No, I asked you what the similarity between being a dad and a CEO is.
Well, I think you have core values in an organization. You know, how do we behave? What's our culture? What do we truly believe in? From there, you have a standard of how you work with each other
customers. Those values, aren't they different in business than what you bring home?
Really? I don't know that they are. High integrity. Following through on your promises, treating people with respect.
I got another question for you. Who wears the pants at home, you or your wife?
Well, Mrs. Angrick is the boss. I think she approves all the budgetary items and the schedule, and she's a nurturing mother for our two kids and the rest of the family.
I just wanted to ask the question. Who's got the next question here?
Yeah. How do you nurture folks at your office?
One, believing in them. You know, making it clear that you believe they can be outstanding in whatever endeavor. Two, giving them the tools and the resources to be successful. Three, telling them what to do but not how to do it. Make sure that they feel that they're in control of their own destiny.
So how's the turnover at your company?
Limited turnover. You know, we've had people with us the entire duration. Many of our good friends have put kids through college, have grown up in our organization, have found spouses in our organization.
Sounds like it goes back to the lessons your mom taught you.
Exactly. It's, you know, you want to have that close-knit family feeling. It's hard when you have people in 30 offices around the country, but you know, the technology we have makes it to be allows us to be more intimate and, mm-hmm. and share that common vision.
Well, what's the website address for Liquidity Services?
LiquidityServices.com.
LiquidityServices.com. We've been speaking with Bill Angrick, CEO of Liquidity Services, here on Executive Leaders Radio with my co-host Dana Theis, Empower Coaching, John Schuhart, Graybeard Coaching, Haley Morris Cressa, Karen Addis Van Epperen, and Dean Nutter, George Mason University. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com. That's executiveleadersradio.com to learn more about our executive leaders. This is your host, Herb Cohen. We will be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. Stick around, and we've got more to come.
Do you want to take the great shows of BizTalk Radio wherever you go? Well, now you can with the new BizTalk Radio app for iPhone and Android devices. Now all the great shows of BizTalk Radio are with you wherever you go, just an arm's reach away on your smartphone. Download today at the App Store or the Google Play Store and get the brand new BizTalk Radio app. It's biz for you wherever you go with the new BizTalk Radio app.
Here's George Foreman with InventHealth.
Hi, I'm George Foreman. Do you have an idea for a new product or invention? People ask me all the time, George, how do I get my idea in front of companies? How do I get a patent? What do I do next? Do you have the same questions? I'll tell you like I'll tell them all. Call my friends at InventHelp.
Call InventHelp today for free information. InventHelp has been helping inventors for more than 30 years and has sales offices nationwide. InventHelp can submit your invention to companies who are interested in receiving new ideas. If you have an idea and want to try to patent it and submit it to companies, you should call InventHelp today for free information.
Listen, I can't guarantee a company will be interested in your idea, but I believe every inventor deserves the opportunity to step into the ring and take their best shot. Put InventHelp in your corner.
To get your free inventor's information, call 1-800-351-1453. That's 1-800-351-1453. Again, 1-800-351-1453.
Today, more than ever, Americans need a means to protect their life savings. Birch Gold Group offers peace of mind for your nest egg through a rollover to an IRA backed by physical gold. Take advantage of the long-term stability that gold provides by investing in a gold IRA from Birch Gold Group, the precious metal IRA specialists. Call Birch Gold Group today at 888-999-1351 and receive their free information kit on gold. Call 888-999-1351, 888-999-1351.
Do you have an old car sitting in your driveway? How would you like to learn a hassle-free way to get rid of it, help kids in need, and get a great tax donation in the process? It's real easy. One simple free call to our car donation hotline is all it takes. Call the Neshama Foundation at 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. We'll come pick your car up for free and give you a tax donation for the full value of the car, running or not. The value of your unwanted car will go to help kids in need. It's fast and easy. Just call us and your car will be gone and on its way to helping children in 48 hours. And you get a nice tax deduction. Call the Neshama Foundation now to get rid of your car, help kids, and get a tax write-off.
Call 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723, 800-721-6723. That's 800-721-6723.
This is a national health care alert from the Health Hotline. If you, a family member, or a loved one suffers from knee pain and have Medicare as your primary insurance, we've got great news. You could qualify for a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost to you. Get free delivery and all the paperwork is handled by our accredited suppliers at no charge to you. So if you're on Medicare and have knee pain, don't wait. You may qualify to immediately receive a pain-relieving knee brace at little or no cost. Friendly agents are standing by 24/7 to help you. We also have other pain-relieving braces, too, for your shoulder, ankle, or back. You may be eligible to get these items and more at little or no out-of-pocket cost. Our friendly representatives are standing by now to help you, so please call now.
Call 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301. Again, 855-227-0301. That's 855-227-0301.
Are you struggling with addiction or alcohol problems? If you're depressed, drinking, and using drugs, you may need help. And the Affordable Care Act guarantees coverage of substance abuse.
I knew I could get myself out of this. I just needed some hope and some help.
I took the first step to recovery when I made the call.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
I feel like I'm losing control. I'm afraid I'll lose my job or even my family.
Call now for hope and help with proven, gentle recovery programs.
I never thought that I could be somebody who didn't drink and use drugs.
I'm in recovery, getting the help I need.
Call the Addiction Hope and Helpline now for a free assessment with someone who cares. Call 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533. 800-547-6533.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Exactly Losers Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen, with my co-host, Dana Thiessen, Power Coaching, John Schuart, Greybeard Coaching, Helly Morris Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Epperen, and Dean Nutter, George Mason University. I'd like to introduce Raj Anathan Pillai.
You're right.
Who is the CEO of InfoZen. What is InfoZen? What do you guys do?
Thank you for having me here. InfoZen does two things. We help the government cash bad guys. Mm-hmm. And the other one, we help them transform all of their technology systems.
Mm-hmm. How large or how small is this organization?
We're about 250 people. We've been around for 20 years.
250 people for how many years?
About 20 years.
20 years. And how did you get a job with this company?
Well, I bought the company back in 2004 after I got bored after selling the first company.
You bought the company after selling another company. Huh. So you're what they would call a serial entrepreneur, I guess.
You may label me that.
Where are you from originally?
I'm originally from India.
India. And how young were you when you came to the United States?
I think about 24.
Uh-huh. And how much money did you come to the United States with?
Oh, I came with a loan of $1,800.
What do you mean you came with a loan of $1,800? What do you mean? Where'd the money come
from?
Well,
I mean, I had to borrow. My parents were not that well off back in India, so I took a bank loan there, used some influence, and got and converted that to U.S. dollars, and it was $1,800.
Uh-huh. What kind of revenue is this company doing nowadays?
What's that?
$65 million.
Yeah, our company does about $65 million.
$65 million. And you bought this business after selling a previous business.
That is true.
Uh-huh.
I bought a third of the company and finished buying the rest 3 years later.
Could you retire financially if you wanted to?
I could, but that's relative.
But you don't want to?
Nah.
Why don't you want to? I mean, here you can.
I love building business. I love creating wealth. I've created a lot of millionaires in my life, so it's something that I'm passionate about, creating wealth.
Wait. Hold on for a second. You came to the United States with $1,800. It wasn't your money.
It was not
my
money.
Now you can go retire to Florida or Tahiti or whatever you want, and you don't want to? How old are you?
I'm about 56.
You're 50. You should be, I mean, whatever happened to the American dream, going and retiring or sitting on the couch or something?
I wish I had that DNA in my body, unfortunately.
Uh-huh.
My DNA says keep working.
When you were a kid, what kind of books influenced you?
One of the best books I read was Ayn Rand's Atlas Shrugged.
And how old were you when
17.
You read? You were 17. How'd you come across that book?
Well, I was always fascinated by Western cultures and especially the United States. Mm-hmm. So I picked up this book and read that.
What was it about the United States that you were interested in?
It's one of the most modern countries in the world.
Mm-hmm. How many brothers and sisters do you have?
I had two brothers. Mm-hmm. One of them.
Where are you
died.
In the pecking order?
I'm the middle.
Uh-huh. And how'd that make you feel, being the middle child?
Sometimes left out, but I think my dad did a good job in making sure that I got the right education.
Uh-huh.
I was the first one to go to college in my family.
Uh-huh. Who's got the next
one? What was your relationship with your brothers?
It was great. You know, my older brother was 2 years older to me. He's no longer with us. My younger brother was 5 years younger to me.
Mm-hmm. Karen?
So what made you go to college? You said you were the first one.
I think I was forced to go to college, but I was always interested in going to college and learning. I had a very big appetite for learning, a lot of stuff, not just the what's in the book. So I used to read a lot of magazines, a lot of books, so that something kind of came to me.
And why did you feel that was so important to get an education?
I thought that was the only way to come to this country.
Mm-hmm. Hallie, did you have a question there?
So coming to the U.S. with $1,800 is a really big risk. So what gave you the confidence at a young age? Was it innate, or did you have confidence, external validation to take these kind of risks?
Yeah, I always thought I can figure it out. So it's one of those things. I don't absolutely plan the future. I'll figure out how to go along the way. Yes, it was a huge risk, and my parents were also worried that what happens if we run out of money, and then what are you going to do? I said, one of the things that happened when I came to this country was I had a job offer from Texas Instruments, and I refused that job, and I said, I'm going to come to college and get a degree, another degree. I went to University of Kansas and in Lawrence, and I said, everybody thought I was crazy because you're refusing and declining an offer with one of the largest mm-hmm. companies back mm-hmm. then.
There's a bigger risk even on the part of that banker who lent you $1,800. What did he see in you that gave him confidence to give you that money when he knew you were leaving the country?
Influence. So it's one of those things, you know somebody and they vouch for mm-hmm. you and
Dana?
Come about.
You said that before you got that offer from Texas Instruments, you couldn't get a job. Nobody hire you?
Yes, I have no idea why they wouldn't hire me. I had an advanced degree back in India. And it's one of those places back then, you know, you have to have a lot of influence, people. I didn't get a good job. I was working. But
you also said, though, that you were a bit of a fish out of water for liking Ayn Rand, liking this
yes.
entrepreneurial spirit. That was not common?
Yeah, 30, 40 years ago, India was still a socialist country. They were trying to teeter into capitalism, but it was not there. And I was a full-blown capitalist by the time I was 19.
Mm-hmm.
So where does this risk-taking trait come from?
I think it's one of those things when I was growing up, I was trying to organize a lot of stuff. And, you know, I was part of a social club called Ben Franklin Club that was involved in developing young kids into full-blown adults. So we used to do a lot of stuff, you know, debates and social activities and things like that. So I took on the role of organizing and inviting speakers. So it kind of motivated me to say, I want to be like that guy.
So who was organizer in your family, your mom or your dad?
I think my mom was. She's a lot more organized, and I think I have that trait from her. But my dad was the one who says, you know, keep it up, don't let grass grow under your feet.
You said earlier as a kid you daydreamed a lot. What do you daydream about now?
What's that?
What do you daydream about
yes,
now?
Yes, one of the things was, and I'm logistically challenged. I wouldn't know how to get from point A to point B because I'm always thinking about something or daydreaming. So even now I have the same problem. My kids make fun of me. So one of the things I was dreaming about is to run or be a president of something big. I didn't know what that was big was. And I said, that's what it is. And you didn't have a luxury of owning automobile or anything like that back in India. I said, by 30, I want to write a book and have a car. And I said, everybody said, how the heck are you going to do it? And it just happened that I came to this country and both of that was easily achievable for me.
So if you daydream, where does the focus come from to run this highly successful company?
It is what it is. You know, daydream kind of crystallizes certain things for me. And says, okay, this needs to be done that way. So I'm constantly thinking about how to solve or how to hire new people or how to build a management team and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm. So you're constantly thinking about the business.
Yes, I am.
And you enjoy that.
Yes, that is my passion.
Doesn't that feel like work? I mean, isn't that that's that dirty word, work, but you don't think it's work?
No. So as Mark Twain said, you know, if you're absolutely busy, you'll enjoy idling. So that's exactly what I do. If I'm not busy, I actually get depressed.
Uh-huh. So you like working. What's the best part of work?
Building teams and you know, helping customers.
I thought you were going to tell me it's making money.
What's that?
I thought you were going to tell me it's making money.
Well, it's not necessarily true. You know, early on, maybe when I was a kid, I said I got to be a lot of money and have all these things. But after that, it's sort of a second nature, so to speak. And it's building and achieving. So I absolutely enjoy the journey. But the result, when it, you know, it is a true statement. When the result happens, I get depressed. I say, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
So it has been the case throughout my life.
So what's good enough? When are you going to stop?
I don't know. I mean, you know, when I'm enjoying something, what do I have to stop?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think the way, you know, I look back.
Are mom and dad aware of your success? Do they know how you've done?
Yes. You know,
how do they know how you've done?
I grew up with no running water or no electricity in the younger days. And then now they see me and they think I'm a pretty accomplished
person. How do they know what you've accomplished?
They don't know all the details, but they think I'm doing well.
Uh-huh. Have they been to the United States?
Yes, they have been several years ago, but not anymore.
Uh-huh. When they came to the United States, what did you take them to the office? Did you drive them around in a limousine? What'd you do?
No. There's no limousine or anything like that.
Do they know the extent?
No, I've not taken them to my office.
Do they know the extent of what you've accomplished?
I'm not sure about that. They know that I've accomplished a lot, but I don't know what that is.
Mm-hmm. But you don't feel you need to tell them all the details of it all.
Yeah, I don't think, I don't like to brag about those things.
Brag about what? What are you talking about? I thought that once you made a lot of money, you go out and buy a fancy dancy car and you show all the family about how well you've done. You buy a big house and that stuff.
It doesn't buy me anything.
Wait a minute.
I grew up with nothing. That's why I tell people I have no hobby that's more than $10, even today. And that happens to be seeing a movie once in a while or having a vegetarian meal.
Wait a minute. I see all these ads for fancy, dancy cars and houses, and I thought you were supposed to buy that stuff when you make money.
Well, it's not me.
And that's not what you...
I do like them, but it's not something that I really go out of the way to.
As opposed to, what do you like spending your time on?
I really was part of my kids, you know. That's one of those things, luxury. A lot of people say, hey, men don't have that thing, you know, they work hard and they don't spend time with the kids. But I spend time with my kids every weekend. Uh-huh. To come to all the skating rink and my daughter and my tennis games with my son.
Sure. All right. What's the website address for InfoZen?
InfoZen.com. Uh-huh. And Identrix.com.
Identrix.com. And we've been speaking with Raj
Ananthan Pillai,
who is the CEO of InfoZen and Identrix here on Executive Leaders Radio. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. I'd like to thank my co-host, Anna Theos, Empower Coaching, John Schuart, Graybeard Coaching, Hallie Morris, Cressa, Karen Addis, Van Apperin, and Dean Nutter, George Mason University, for giving me a hand. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight. And your name is?
Ron Petrie.
And Ron, what organization are you with?
Aeronomy.
And what is Aeronomy?
Aeronomy is a high-tech company doing cloud computing and virtualization for the higher education space and some of the state and locals.
And what do you do for your clients that's special?
We actually have got a niche spot for looking at how to take the unique things such as cybersecurity and putting it out in the cloud where it's not going to contaminate and give the schools the capability of teaching virtually on the cloud.
Mm-hmm. And who are your clients typically?
Higher education, colleges, mm-hmm. universities, mm-hmm. K through 12. We're mm-hmm. doing it with the state and locals. Mm-hmm. They're finding out that they don't have the budget anymore for buying the IT infrastructure and mm-hmm. keeping it up mm-hmm. with all the personnel. So we're doing that for them.
And what do you like about your job?
The diversity of it. It's really kind of fun. I came out of teaching myself for about 10 years at one of the mm-hmm. local universities, mm-hmm. colleges here, mm-hmm. and got a chance to see how it really would be beneficial to the college.
And what have your clients told you? Why do they like you guys?
It turns out we have kind of a unique space, especially in the cybersecurity area. Mm-hmm. We partner with all the larger players, the Amazon, the Googles and such. Mm-hmm. But the issue becomes one of, if you want to try and do things like cybersecurity, where somebody's going to put a virus out in your system, mm-hmm. you don't want to do that out there where somebody else has all their other systems up.
Is your background technology?
Actually, I have a degree in business at American University, so it's a combination of technology business. And such. I actually have a crypto background.
What is your website address?
It's aeronomy.com.
How do you spell that?
Aeronomy.
Aeronomy.com. We've been speaking with your name again?
Ron Petrie.
From?
Aeronomy.
This is Herb Cohn. We'll be back in a moment right after this business spotlight.
How deep in debt are you? $10,000? $15,000? Maybe even more? And every day that goes by, you know what happens. Your debt gets larger and larger and larger. Well, if you've had it with your mushrooming debt problem and the stress it is causing you, make this free call today to the Debt Solutions Network. One quick no-obligation call is all it takes for one of our partner companies to show you how they can help you get out of debt. So if you have $10,000 or more in combined debt and you want to learn how you can solve it, make this free, no-obligation call now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035.
If you are in serious debt, you have to get out of it and fast. Call my friends at the Debt Solutions Network now.
800-814-5035. 800-814-5035. Call us 24/7. 800-814-5035.
Hi, I'm Joan London. If you're worried about your parent or loved one living alone, like I was, and you want reliable senior care information, then call A Place for Mom, the nation's largest senior living referral service.
Finding an apartment that was on the courtyard with the view of the trees, the view of the ducks, the stream, the creek, all of that, that was what I needed.
You'll get free information on assisted living, Alzheimer's care, nursing homes, even important financial information. Here's the number.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
A Place for Mom is a free service, and you can trust them to help you. So if you're struggling to find reliable senior living information, there's a place for answers, A Place for Mom.
To speak with a local senior living advisor, call A Place for Mom at 800-451-2976. That's 800-451-2976.
Have you written a book and want to get it published? Then call Page Publishing ASAP. We're looking for authors of all types of books. And unlike most publishers, Page Publishing will take the time to review each and every book submitted to us. And we'll give you our feedback. And if we like what we read, we will get your book into bookstores and for sale online at Amazon, the Apple iTunes Store, Barnes & Noble, and other outlets. We handle everything. Editing, cover design, copyright protection, printing, publicity, and distribution. So if you've written a novel, children's book, cookbook, inspirational work, poetry, or a biography and want to get it published, call Page Publishing now for your free author submission kit. Your road to fame and fortune could very well start with this simple phone call.
888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. 888-785-0618. That's 888-785-0618.
BizTalkRadio.com.
We're back. You're listening to Executive Leaders Radio. This is your host, Herb Cohen. I'd like to introduce Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group. Bill, what is the McCormick Group? What are you guys doing?
McCormick Group is an executive search firm.
Uh-huh. And how large or how small is this organization?
It's about 40 people, $5 million a year in revenues.
Uh-huh. How'd you get a job with it?
I started it.
You started it. And why did you start a business?
I started a business because I decided that I didn't want to work for anybody else anymore.
Mm-hmm. How'd that happen? What do you mean?
Well, I went to work for a government contractor, and I was offered the opportunity to help open up a division in Washington, D.C., and promised a certain amount of equity. Mm-hmm. And when I didn't get the equity after 4 years, I quit.
Uh-huh. How's that affecting how you run your business?
Well, all my employees get stock every year, so I've tried to make it fair so that it's an entrepreneurial opportunity for everybody.
So in spite of something bad happening to you, you try to make it good for everybody else, huh?
That's true.
Uh-huh. Where are you from originally?
Boulder City, Nevada.
Uh-huh. How many brothers and sisters?
I have two brothers.
And where are you in the pecking order?
I'm first.
Uh-huh. How'd that affect you?
I got a lot of attention.
Mm-hmm. And how young were you when you started making money?
I started making money probably when I was 8 or 9 in terms of working for my allowance and then starting my own little cutting grass and water business.
Mm-hmm. What did you do different than the other kids that cut grass and water and stuff like that? What was the difference between what you did and what they did?
Everybody else did it for their parents.
And you?
I did it for myself.
What do you mean?
Yeah, I just had the opportunity to go around and mow lawns and water lawns and earn enough money to buy baseball cards.
Mm-hmm. And what did you learn back then that you're using nowadays in terms of building this organization, the McCormick Group?
I think the most important thing is to understand your customers and be able to think like they do.
What are you talking about? You were cutting lawns and water and stuff. What do you mean?
Well, you have to understand what the customer wants in terms of how the lawn's cut and how often it's cut and what it looks like when you're finished. And you have to be responsible enough to get there and water it in the middle of 120-degree heat in order to keep it alive when they come back from vacation.
So you really cared about what your customers wanted and you tried to meet their expectations?
Correct.
What's that have to do with starting the McCormick Group, with your motivation to start the McCormick Group, understanding customers and trying to meet their expectations?
Well, I used executive search firms when I was building the consulting firm, and I found out that most of them simply gave me resumes and left me alone, and I did all the work. So I learned how to be an executive search consultant by knowing exactly what they didn't do and deciding I could build a better one.
Mm-hmm. John?
Bill, what else did you do? What else did you do growing up other than working and going to school? Did you play any sports?
Yeah, I played a lot of sports.
Okay. And what one was your best one?
Probably football, although I was good at all of them.
And what position did you play?
I played quarterback.
Why quarterback? If you're such a great athlete, you could have played anywhere on the field.
I think I played quarterback because the coach understood that I could see the field. I understand what it meant to see the defenses and to figure out a way to beat them.
Okay, and so you're a decision maker on the field. You're the principal decision maker on a football team. You played up through college, yeah? You went to college.
I did.
Division One. Okay, and where'd you go to school?
Air Force Academy.
How'd that work out?
It worked out fine. I got a great education. I got an opportunity to see how the Air Force worked and make a decision whether I wanted to stay in there or not. I wasn't a pilot, so I decided to leave.
Do you run your firm like a quarterback runs a team?
Yeah, I think I try to. It's a little bit tougher in the business world than it is in sports. But, you know, the whole idea is everybody on a football team has a special job to do. If they do it well, the team wins. And if they don't do it well, the team loses.
Jim?
You mentioned that you give stock or distribute stock to your employees every year.
Correct.
Do you see a measurable result from that?
I think it's a mixed result. I think that some people it means nothing to because they don't see the company as being there long-term for them to enjoy the rewards of it. I think others see it as great because it costs them nothing.
Kathy, well, Herb? Nope, go, Jim.
You do it for reasons of motivation or reasons of altruism or whatever. What's your motivation in doing that?
I think I did it because that's the way I wanted to be treated.
Mm-hmm. Kathy?
What was it like to go to the Air Force where you really can't be that independent and being so independent as a high school student?
Going to the Air Force Academy where I couldn't be independent was tough because I was used to doing whatever the hell I wanted to do. And then once I went into the Air Force, I was being told what to do when I went to the Academy. Once I was out in the world of the Air Force itself, it was more like being in the regular world.
Justin?
Did you play football all through school?
Well, I played football all through high school and in the first year of college.
Justin?
Bill, you mentioned offline that there was a substantial cheating scandal at the Air Force Academy when you were present there. How did that impact your trust with your fellow classmates?
I think the fact that I was one of the first people investigated in the honor scandal and the fact that I survived it gave me a lot of trust in the system.
Andrew?
I think the system was fair.
Andrew?
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned in high school your father was a principal. What happened there, and what was the lesson from that, and how do you apply it today?
My father is the principal of the high school that I went to, and he was my principal in middle school. He could see what was going to happen because I was rising up as an athlete by the time I got through middle school, so he transferred to Las Vegas while I was in high school. He did that because he felt like he was going to have an influence over the coaches that I might be playing for. Mm-hmm. So he did it for the right reasons. I kind of figured out after that he didn't have to do that. I mean, it would have worked out. He just had to trust the coaches.
Mm-hmm. Herb, do you have a question there?
Was that a loss for you? Did you feel like you'd lost something in losing your dad during those years?
Well, I didn't lose him because he was close by, but I really missed having him as my principal.
Mm-hmm. Stephen?
How has this affected you raising kids? You've got kids of your own, so how has your dad's influence affected that?
I think I try to model myself after my parents, both of them, in a sense. My mother ran the grades. My dad ran the discipline. They had it fairly divided. I think I've tried to do that with my wives.
Mm-hmm. Will?
Executive recruiting is really competitive, obviously, in this market here. What makes you guys so different?
I think the difference is that we keep ourselves in the middle between the employer and the candidate. They're both our clients. Mm-hmm. You know, most of my employers pay me money. Obviously, they all pay me money. Mm-hmm. The deal about it is that a candidate 99% of the time has to give up the rest of his life by resigning to take their job.
Cool.
So we try to keep that balance.
Bill, what is the website address for the McCormick Group?
Excuse me?
The website address for the McCormick Group, your website address?
TheMcCormickGroup.com.
Excellent. We've been speaking with Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group, here on Executive Leaders Radio. Will, can you please give us a rundown on who we've had on the air today?
Sure. We've listened to Pamela Graf, President and CEO of Quarterline, John Milam, CEO of Dynamis, Mike Sierra, President Owner of the Ventura Group, and Bill McCormick, CEO of the McCormick Group.
Excellent. I'd like to thank my co-hosts, Mr. Will Barrington, Justin Lang Cressa, Joe Applebaum, Potomac Company, Steve Simon, Van Apper, and Andrew Lewis, Lewis Financial Group, John Hillen, George Mason University, Herb Thomas, White for Taylor and Preston, Kathleen Poorball, Holmes, Lowry, Horn, and Johnson, and Jim Irving, who is with Bean, Kenny, and Corman, for giving me hand structure and the questions. Hope you're providing our listening audience an educational and entertaining show. I'd like to thank our listening audience for listening. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a radio show. Don't forget to visit our website, executiveleadersradio.com, to learn more about our executive leaders. Thank you and have a nice day. Bye-bye.
The opinions you hear on Biz Talk Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and do not necessarily reflect those of this station, Biz Talk Radio, its management, or advertisers. The information on Biz Talk Radio does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions about Biz Talk Radio, contact us at 817-274-1609 or at biztalkradio.com. BizTalkRadio.com.